9:30, WFMD is at your service, featuring local business people who are experts in their field.
Welcome, everyone. We are back, right? This is Tony and Chris. We are from CNA Financial Services. Today, at your service, we have a guest with us today, Mr. Mason Summers. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. How's it going today, Chris?
It's great.
It's a great day. You know, it's kind of cold outside, so you know it plays with our emotions, right? So this is our second episode.
Yes, that's the second episode, I guess.
Second episode, it's good, right? It's a pleasant journey, you know. We are learning as we're going, right? So people, please don't judge us, you know. We'll get better with time. But this is another episode at your service, right? At what's the channel station again? 99.9 Free Talk. Oh, 930 WFMD. All right, WFMD 930. So you guys can catch us on a Saturday, the second and third Saturday of the month at 8 o'clock. So if you want to listen to us live, again, it's going to be 930 WFMD Free Talk, right? You can listen to us on the second and third Saturday of the month. All right, so let's get into today. But before we even go any further, I want to remind everybody that we are still in the tax season. So make sure to go file your taxes. Make sure you don't leave it too late. And as somebody who's in the profession, please, as you go see your CPA or your tax preparer, make sure that when you come, you are fully prepared, you are ready, you have all your documents, right? So that we can get you out as quickly as possible.
And I've heard that people still receiving documents, which is kind of crazy to me because it's February 15, you know, the deadline for everybody
to receive the
document.
Yep.
No, the deadline for the employee to send it out mm-hmm. is the 31st.
So
I would have thought that by now everybody received the document, but it's still waiting.
You know how it is in this country sometimes, you know, things take that sweet time before they get to your door. But so today, like I mentioned to you guys earlier, we have Mason with us. And as explained to you on the previous episode, we are looking to open the platform to other business owners, because the one thing that we are really interested in is to have a conversation with business owners and understand, you know, their process and understand, you know, what got them into business, right? Because it is something that's very vast. You know, we all get in it for different reasons. We all have different goals as we get into business. And having a conversation today with Mr. Mason is definitely going to highlight again, you know, that. So I will just give you guys a little bit of introduction on our guest today. Mr. Mason Summers is a photographer and a videographer. He owns Anchor Pictures with his wife, Savannah, and they've been working together for a decade. You know, they love to tell stories through their photos and video work and capture wedding, event, architecture, portraits, you know, anything that looks beautiful. So pretty much, if you want to capture a beautiful moment in your life, I will tell you, you need to talk to Mr. Mason. You need to call Anchor Pictures right now. So he's also a father of two young children named Juniper and Silas. And they are living right downtown Frederick, Maryland. So how are you today, Mr. Mason?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
With the introduction.
No, that was perfect. Yep.
Perfect. Nice. How's your day been going so far?
It's great. Yeah. Just staying busy with work, but taking a day at a time.
I understand that. So, you know, let's just jump right into it. So my first question for you will be to share a little bit with us about your journey into becoming a business owner. What inspired you to start your own business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think being in the creative field, kind of the natural progression mm-hmm. for a lot of people is to kind of get to the place where you own your own business or you're self-employed. Because, you know, with it being a career, that's kind of just like as you grow, you know, you work for other people and then eventually you want to kind of be self-employed and be able to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. It gives you that flexibility, you know, and higher pay, but also the ability to be creative and kind of just like have your own brand. I was around a lot of just self-employed people growing up because my dad actually had his own business most of my childhood and still does. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of saw that modeled through him. He did creative work, graphic design, video, different things like that. And so seeing him do it and then, you know, a lot of my first entry into photography and video was with, you know, other people who were also, you know, doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I got to see it modeled a lot and kind of knew that that was, you know, ultimately the step that I would need to take if I was going to pursue it, you know, as a career.
So you pretty much became like daddy height when you grew up.
Yeah, exactly. We still work together here and there, which is nice.
This is awesome. I know we always, you know, my dad used to be aerospace engineer, right?
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to become like him when I grew up. So I went and took mechanical engineering after, you know, when I started college. After one semester, I was like,
not for you.
I was like, you know what? I love you. I want to be like you, but no, this is where the buck stops. But no, that's awesome.
That's funny. Yeah, I was a little resistant to it actually because he had wanted to go into business with me, you know, from a young age. Yeah. I actually studied something different in college, and then kind of ended up, you know, back into the world that, you know, he kind of was in. We have different lanes, but we definitely work together here and there, which is nice.
You went around the block and,
and
came back around.
Yep.
So I assume you got a lot of support from your dad.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he actually was the one that got me my first internship in photography after I graduated college. Oh, and so, you know, he knew a photographer in the DC area and, you know, kind of connected me with him. And so that was kind of my first into kind of getting the experience I needed and stuff.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
I mean, what did you do before? Like, before you started your own business, so what were you doing?
Yeah, I actually studied architecture in college at University of Maryland, and I graduated in 2008. So it was just a really weird time. Mm-hmm. You know, jobs were not plentiful. And so
the market crash.
And at that point I was kind of a little
recession.
And so it was kind of a tough time, and so I was like, either I go back to school for longer or I kind of pivot and try something else. And so that's when I kind of started going towards photography. Mm-hmm. Gained a lot of experience in that, and I ended up teaching for a few years. And so I taught for a few years, and that was actually a good segue into being self-employed because I was able to, on weekends and during the summer, mm-hmm. still do my photography and video work, mm-hmm. You know, because I had that teaching schedule where I had the summers off, and that was really the busier time with photography. Yeah. And so it was nice because, you know, when you go to self-employed full-time from having another full-time position, you either have to have a lot of money saved up or you have to like have enough work that you know that you're going to just be, you know, kind of be able to carry through that transition.
Yep.
And so it allowed me to kind of baby step into being self-employed,
know,
having the salary from teaching and then supplementing it with being self-employed with photography until in 2014, I went full-time with photography.
That's very smart. And that's usually the advice that we like to give people who want to go into business for themselves is that to not jump straight into, you know, starting the business.
Absolutely,
right? It's preferable if you have a job or if you have a situation that still brings you income while you are building, you know, your self-employment.
Absolutely.
Until you can fully go full-time.
Yeah, it starts off as kind of that side hustle, right? And then when you get to the point where you just, like, you can't do both anymore and you really kind of have to choose, that's when you can kind of make that choice to step fully into it.
That's the best transition.
Unless you're born with a silver spoon.
Right. You got all the money right away.
You start having big ideas. But so what was your first photograph that you ever took?
That's a good question. I mean, it was always a hobby for me. Okay. You know, I didn't do a lot with it in terms of education or anything like that until I did take some classes in college. Okay. And that was kind of my first really, you know, experience getting into it more serious. So I took some photography classes in college, and you know, prior to that, it was really just a hobby. You know, I did it for fun. I loved doing it. And, and I think the thing that I loved about it was just the ability to be creative and capture moments creatively, you know. And I had studied architecture. And with that, it was like that was a long road to go down before you can really kind of be creative and you know, create work that you're excited about. Yes. You know, it's like a lot of schooling, a lot of work experience. With photography, is like I can pick up a camera and I can be creative right away. Yes. Yes. And so that was really enticing to me.
No, that's where, I mean, that's one thing I like, the creative approach to things. I, you know, we are numbers. I'm like facts. I can't, you know, I don't have that creative mind where, you know, I'm able to do, you know, the type of work that you do. You know, like I mentioned to you earlier, my wife is a creative one.
Yeah,
right. She is the one that does all my flyers. She will be the one that even does some of my editing.
Yeah. Well, you guys balance each other out then.
She's right? Very creative. Yeah. She is. Yeah. When it comes to creativeness, she is up there.
Yeah. Well, and I wouldn't be able to do what you guys do. So. That's a gift.
Right. What
were your biggest challenge? I mean, I know like you're a father of two and then you married, like you pretty much have a lot of family, right? So I'm pretty sure that you face some challenges into that transition.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the thing that's hard with being self-employed, especially we do a lot of weddings and that's very seasonal. And so, and just being self-employed can be seasonal in general. Like sometimes, I mean, you could be slammed and then sometimes you just have no work coming in. Yeah. And so I think finding the balance in that and being able to kind of plan accordingly was a big challenge, you know, to get used to of like, okay, like, you know, we might be super busy in June and, you know, have five weddings and all this work. And then February rolls around and nobody's getting married. Nobody wants to do pictures outside. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we don't have much coming in. So I think it's just like kind of that ebb and flow of, I think the thing, and it's hard just in general to have a variable income versus a fixed income, right? I mean, people with a salary, it's like, you know how much you're getting paid each month. You can budget accordingly. Like, you can plan.
Yes.
Being self-employed, it's like, you can't plan. Like, you have no idea. You know, we could have no work for a few weeks, and then we could, like,
get thousands of
dollars the next month, and you just don't really know. So I think that was the hardest thing to get used to.
Yeah. That's. I mean, it is a hard balance, you know, to be able to strike when it comes to that. And so, tell me a pivotal moment, right, in your business journey that significantly impacted your direction or your growth.
Sure. Yeah. I think with that, one of the biggest moments for my wife and I was we moved out to California and lived out there for about 6 years. And we lived and worked in the Los Angeles area. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like a really pivotal moment for us, both just personally, creatively, professionally, because we kind of stepped out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just trying to do something different. We'd done some work out there and just we're kind of ready for a change. And the time that we spent out there, we were around just such creative people. We had experiences that we would have never had, you know, had we kind of stayed where we were. Yeah. And it really, I think, allowed us to kind of grow in every aspect of like just being creative, like pushing the envelope, you know, just trying to like kind of do the best that we could. When you're surrounded by people that are really like, you know, doing their work at such a high level of excellence, it really like pushes you to do better too. Yeah. And so I think that was a really great experience for us. You know, there's just so much creativity there and it was just, it was such a good experience to kind of like step out of what we were used to and to really see, you know, a lot of different, just different people, different places, and you know, the work that we did out there was inspiring, and you know, so we're just really grateful for it.
You left Maryland to move to California for 6 years.
Yes, yeah. And then we moved back here in 2020, and we've loved being back. And but the experience there was just very you know, insightful, and helped us to grow in a lot of ways.
I mean, it does. I mean, whenever you go to different places, and that's one thing I always tell people. I encourage everybody to step out of their comfort zone, right? It's truly by stepping out of your comfort zone that you are able to get better insight, you know, into yourself. You get better insight into what you're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. You get a better insight into adaptation, right? And, you know, you just get a better insight as to, as you say, you know, you went to California, you had to raise your level, you know, in order to compete because, right, I will imagine the creative space in California in comparison to Maryland. It's still different.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And the photography market there was just saturated. I mean, there's so many talented photographers in that area.
Yeah.
And it actually allowed us to kind of realize like, oh, like we're really good with video. And we had done some video up to that point, but we actually pivoted a little bit and started doing more video because there weren't as many people doing that specifically in within weddings, at least in events. And so that also kind of changed when we went out there. We pivoted to do more video work and we kind of grew that aspect of our business as well.
Nice.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know that being self-employed and being a small business owner requires like innovation to stay competitive, right? You have to find a way to stay competitive. And I know you mentioned that in California, the industry is kind of saturated. So, but how did you approach that specific situation?
I mean, we did kind of pivot to more doing video, but I think, you know, just more on a basic level, like, you know, I think it, at least within our industry, it's so important to just like stay creative and inspired and also like just knowledgeable about like latest technology and trends and different things like that. I think the biggest thing for us in staying competitive, you know, being a husband and wife team too, it was like, what was really important for us is just like the relationship aspect of like connecting with people. And because I think a lot of times, like as a business owner, like, and it's easy to get focused on the financial side of things and, you know, like just running the business itself. I think for us, like, it's just really important to have that connection with our clients and kind of build that
personal
relationship.
Touch. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of set us apart a little bit. And and there are like a lot of husband and wife teams that do what we do. But, you know, I think having, you know, our relationship and then like people kind of connecting with us and like being able to know both of us, it just like it brought like a personal level to it. I think that set us apart a little bit. And I think that was like something that gave us like a little bit of, you know, kind of set us apart in some ways.
I guess I would piggyback on that and ask you, you know, I mean, since you are a husband and wife operated business, how is the relationship, you know, working with your wife and operating the business together? Because I know, I'm pretty sure it's not always easy, right? You know, what's the dynamic like?
Yeah, that's a good question. We get a lot of people that tell us, like, I can never work with my spouse. Like, you know, I need that, like, separation or whatever. And it's not they don't, like, love each other, but, like, they just know that they wouldn't be able to work together. And, you know, from the beginning, like, even before we got married, we had kind of started doing this, you know, of collaborating and working together. And I think, like, you know, part of it is that we're both creative. We both really enjoy some of the same things, you know, and so that allows us to kind of get excited about doing the same thing together. But, you know, obviously it has its challenges at times. And I think the biggest thing that was hard was like having those boundaries of like personal life versus work life. You know, we would go out on a date and we would talk about work the whole time, know, and so it was like, you know, kind of learning like, okay, let's set some boundaries and say like, okay, when we go out, like maybe we talk about work for the first few minutes, then like we're going to stop it and we're going to just connect personally, you know? And so like having those boundaries was really important for us and we're still learning, you know, but I think that was hard. And I, you know, personality wise, I think we work together pretty well. Obviously there's times where, you know, we might butt heads on a job or something like that. But for the most part, you know, we just like kind of drive well together in that way. But it really was like, you know, boundary wise, it really kind of blurred the lines.
It's a learning curve,
Yeah, absolutely. And so early on, it was like all work all the time.
Yep.
And you know, and I think we've gotten better at that. But.
I mean, yeah, that's great. I mean, I can tell you this, more power to you. More power to you.
I'll say the same to you.
You know, but I mean, it's always to me interesting to see, you know, family dynamics in a business, right?
Yeah.
How the family dynamics operate, right? So just in case you didn't know, Christian and I, you know, we are cousins, right? So we have a family dynamic, whereas, you know, not only we are cousins, we are pretty much brothers, and we are friends, and we are business partners, right? So you have to be able to navigate through all those dynamics in order to not have one of them affected.
Sure.
Right. So, and it also takes both to tangle, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I think the hardest part in that is to hold your partner accountable.
You
can easily hold a stranger accountable, but it's hard to hold your spouse accountable.
Yeah, without sounding like you are persecuting or you trying to start something.
You can't take it personal.
Like, if it's you and me, we are working together and you need to tell me something, you want to be straight to the point and say, hey, you know what, Antoine, X, Y, and Z. Now, you know, when it's your spouse, you got to not find her, you know, the right words and vice versa.
And I think, like, you would, you know, the things that you say to each other as family, like you wouldn't even really say to someone who is just your coworker. Like, it's much more objective and much more like just kind of a work relationship. And, and it is, it's just different. You know, I would, like, she's great with editing and, you know, being able to tell a story through video and stuff like that. And, you know, if she comes to me with a correction or something like that, I used to, like, take it personal. And I would never do that with someone, like, who wasn't, like, my spouse or, like, my family member. But with her, it was like, you know, I had to learn, like, no, she's just, like, commenting on the work as my coworker and co-owner in the business. And I need to take it and be constructive with it and, you know, like, have that, like, separation of, like, no, we're talking about work right now and let's deal with it as work, not, like, as, like, you know, part of our relationship.
That's very true. So now, my another question that I have for you is in regards to, because I know, you know, your equipment, right, as a photographer and a videographer costs a lot of money, right, to buy the lenses. I mean, I've seen lens price at a, you know, a price. I'm just looking at the price. I'm like, who pays this amount of money for, like, a lens? But, you know, how were you able to finance, you know, having, you know, such top of the line equipment in order for you to do your job?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was definitely a process over time. You know, I didn't have all that money up front to just, like, invest in all the equipment, have it all ready to go. But, you know, I mentioned that while I was teaching, you know, I was also shooting, and, you know, I might have had, like, one really good lens and a couple, like, decent lenses, you know. And then over time, as I work, I put that money towards, you know, I buy one more lens this year. And then next year I buy one more lens. And and so now I'm at the point where I do kind of have all my equipment. Obviously, every year it's like I have to buy a new camera, keep up with the technology, and, you know, it's just constantly changing and evolving so fast now. But when I did get started, it was like, you know, over time, I've really just spaced it out and tried to invest in one thing at a time and prioritize, like, okay, I really feel like I need this lens now so that I can do this work now, you know. And and so as I expanded my work and expanded my equipment, I was able to do more. But it was definitely a process, you know. I think it might have been faster if I had possibly, you know, looked for financing or some, you know, some sort of loan situation where, like, I could have just invested all the money up front, gotten all the equipment. But there's something to be said about, like, just, you know, working at it and really just kind of trying to accumulate it without taking on debt or anything. So,
I mean, that's a good, I think that was a good approach, to build it over time rather than having to go take a big loan. Because as you're starting, as we mentioned earlier, you don't necessarily know where your clients are coming from, right? So you don't want to incur already a debt that you have to start paying when, you know, you are barely keeping up with your clientele. Right. So I think that was a good, it's a good move.
I mean, what I want to ask is that, is, are you in, like, a disruptive technology industry? Is it, like, when I say disruptive technology, so I would take the example of Blockbuster, for instance, right? Now Blockbuster is gone because Netflix came in, right? So that's why. So is your industry is like that too?
I think, technology is like that, to where, a camera that I had 3 years ago is obsolete, and so like that, the technology is replacing itself very quickly, in terms of quality and what it can do. I think in my industry, there's always going to be an element of like the value of the artist,
okay,
being the photographer, or, the value of, the person that comes to the table being able to, bring their own unique approach, so I don't think that will ever go away, but, I have seen it change over time. I've been doing photography since about 2008, and that was right after things had kind of all gone digital from film. Mm-hmm. But that was before everyone had the quality that they have on their cameras and their phones now. Yeah, and so, it used to be that the photographer at a wedding or event would be the one capturing all of the images. Now, everyone has a camera in their hand, and so it looks a little different, but I think, our value is still there, but it looks a little different as to what, our job looks like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we can sit here and probably have the conversation the whole day, but the engineer just let me know that we have a couple of minutes, already to go. We had a whole program, but guess what? We will have Mason back, and this time I will have it back with your wife.
That would be great.
I would like to interview the both of you and, observe the dynamic for myself. but I will let you tell the people, where they can find you. If they want to get in contact with you, how can they reach you?
Yeah, that sounds good. Anyone looking for photography or video work, we're based right in Frederick, Maryland, but we do work all around Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Virginia. We even travel abroad. But our Instagram is at anchor.pictures, and our website is anchor-pictures.com. You can check us out there and reach out through our website. But thank you guys so much for having me on. This has been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. To have you, Mason. And like I said, we'll do this again. And yes, it's been a pleasure talking with you folks. I'm Christian. We'll see you guys next week. Don't forget to check us out at CNA Financial Services for our Facebook handle as well as our Instagram handle. And you can go to our website, cnafinancialservices.com, or you can reach us at 301-800-3222. And till next time, everybody, take care of yourselves. Bye.
Bye.